you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now, here's your host, Chris Elfheim.
Hello, friends. I hope you have enjoyed your week. This is Chris Elfheim with The Rational Revolution. We are back to have great conversations. Listen, the reason we came up with the show is that I wanted people to be able to talk about things. I wanted us to be able to have a civilized conversation from different viewpoints about topics that matter to us. And in some cases, bring up topics that you don't even realize matter to you, but they do. And I think we've done that effectively. With me here tonight, I have my friend and co-host, Mr. Mark Becker on the line. Hello.
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 It's such an honor to be here.
Oh, it's a great time. You know, anytime you can talk and you can have a great conversation,
yes.
It's a great opportunity.
What a concept.
I know it. So tonight is a little, you know, bittersweet.
How was your day?
Well,
Yeah.
My day's been a little interesting. So as much as I have enjoyed doing this show, and I truly do, I consider it my baby. The good news is that there's something exciting happening. The bad news is that it's going to bring to an end my time here on Rational Revolution. Let's have a moment of silence. Okay, that's enough.
That's good.
That's good. Again, it's bittersweet. So yes, everybody knows that I'm obviously involved in politics and had run for the 19th Senate District in 2022. Very, you know, hard-fought race that I did not win. And with the maps that have come out, I have been redrawn into the 18th Senate District. And that means, now that we have official maps signed by the governor, that I will be on the ballot in November, which means our policy here at Civic Media, which is very respectable, is that if you are an active candidate, then you probably shouldn't have free reign of a microphone. And we respect that. So this will be my final show. And we're going to do kind of something interesting. We're going to switch off and let Mark take after the first segment. Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to give up my host reins Mark have control of the show for the rest of it. And he's gonna be interviewing me on different things in politics and what goes on.
So it's going to be fun.
So, yeah, you know, that's my day in a nutshell. It's been a whirlwind from 9 a.m. straight through till sitting here with you. I should have brought a cough drop. It's been nothing but gab time.
Oh, yeah.
For all for good reasons. What's happened in your world this week?
Oh, geez. I mean, nothing like that. I'm not on the ballot. I've been working with some folks about the issue here in Green Bay with the superintendent and working with some organizations with that. And we can get into that at a different time. But, and helping out some school board candidates and in my native Pulaski area.
Pulaski. I was on the phone with people from Pulaski
today. Oh, I bet they were wonderful.
They are.
Yes.
They are.
Yeah, and so doing some of that.
Have you gone to Smirava's? Smirava's.
Smirava's.
There's a lot of consonants in that name. Getting it all in there.
Yes. It's like when you clear your throat, then you've pronounced it right.
That's German.
That's true. So I have a life-threatening allergy to nuts.
Oh.
And they, and I've reached out to them. I ran for office and I represented that area and I got to know Greg and some of the people at Smirava's. Wonderful folks. It always smells great in there, but I can't eat anything.
You can't.
I can't.
Even breathing, it might be a challenge.
Right. And I sent them a message about, hey, can I get some punchkis and it wouldn't kill me. And I will buy an absolute astronomical amount of them just so I can have one.
Right.
To make it make sense.
Yes, just to make it make sense. You're going to run a batch. Yeah.
And they were so kind and gracious. They were like, we cannot guarantee that.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
You got to appreciate they actually said that.
I do.
Yeah.
Very, very much.
Because others are like, yeah, sure, what's the big deal?
Yeah, screw it. Yeah, here you go.
I am.
Have two.
Relating to our Pulaski story, when I was a kid, we had a beagle named Punchka. For exactly that reason. So
That's cool.
there's a little Polish blood.
You're Polish?
Oh, half. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Half
that's
Polish.
A lot.
I refer to myself as stubbornly entertaining.
Oh, very
well. The stubborn would
be good.
The German side.
Yes.
The Polish side would be the entertaining.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I like that.
Stubbornly entertaining.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we love the dairy. I love Pulaski. It's a nice area. Mm-hmm. We have good friends that run a great big dairy operation out there.
And, oh, who's that?
My daughter actually graduated from Pulaski High School.
No kidding. Oh, very cool.
I lived on the edge of Green Bay up here in Indian Trails.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was like 8 miles to get out there, but that's a big school.
It is.
In fact, I will tell you that we moved from the Mosinee area, so the central Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And my daughter was in eighth grade when I took a position out here in De Pere. And we chose a house based on the research that my eighth grader did online as to all of the high schools.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She went online, she created herself a little spreadsheet, and she looked at everything from scores, from the 10th grade scores to all that kind of stuff. She looked at their lunches. She looked at their extracurricular activities. She looked at their musicals. Mm-hmm. She looked at everything. And based on that, she brought it down to two schools. And we ended up going, living in Indian Trails, and she went to Pulaski and had a very successful time there. We enjoyed that school district.
That's cool. Yeah, it's great. They have some, they have a lot going for them. Their issue, they have a very contentious school board race right now. You talk about rational, and there's one side that's talking about how, you know, oh my gosh, how dare the school board go into closed session and all this, you know, conspiracy type things.
Oh,
and
no.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
And then it's the other one, and you try to talk about like, well, there's personnel issues.
Yeah.
And you know, God bless you, but you don't deserve to hear. Mm-mm. About personnel issues. No,
there are things in city council that we have to close the doors on.
Oh, and I've been there too.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, why did they have a lawyer? It's like, well, because that's to protect the public.
Right.
Because if you're going to talk about something in closed session, it better be something that's germane to closed session, or else you should be talking about that in the open.
That's right.
So that's to protect the public, but no.
No.
The tinfoil hats rule the day.
Well, it's crazy. You know? One of the, what my daughter liked about Pulaski is that it was culturally diverse. She looked up the ratio on everything, and she knew it wasn't going to be all people that looked like us. Mm-hmm. There's rural population, so you have farming kids, and you've got big city kids, and you've got big money kids, and you've got low money kids, and that's what she wanted. It's one of the most proud things that I have on my daughter is that in eighth grade, she looked at the demographics of the school and chose the one with diversity.
When did she graduate?
That's tough math for me. I'll think it through.
Okay.
Would have been 93 plus 18.
Okay.
Whatever that math that works out.
My wife graduated 05. She's 37. She's my age.
Yeah. So Kestra, I said that 5 years behind. Yeah. See, I was trying to be delicately avoid how old anybody was. What the heck?
Yeah.
Didn't you see my eyes going, don't bring that up.
And so it's interesting to hear her perspective, and loved the school district, loved the economic diversity. My wife is a black woman. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she talks about some of the struggles. She says, you know, she's mixed. So she says, I was never black enough and I was never white enough.
Yeah.
And so, you know, going through some of that, but Pulaski did a great job at, you know, Upward Bound and some of the different programs that they had. Mm-hmm. And she got to do a lot of different trips, and it was cool. They really did a great job with that.
It's exciting when you can hear, you know, somebody who, how many years ago now, was thinking forward on diversity as it being a plus to their growth. When you have a kid in eighth grade looking to make sure that they are expanding their horizons and relationships and not trying to find just
a big thought.
It's a big deal. It is a big thought. It's a big thought for an eighth grader. And it goes to show that you can impact those thoughts. You know, I grew up in central Wisconsin, a small town just outside of Wausau. And when I got married and we had kids, which was early, we made a point to take the kids to the big city.
Yeah,
we would take them, we would ride the subway, we would walk to the restaurants. And the reason we did it was to reduce fear.
Yes.
Because if you're not surrounded by things that are different, you will naturally be afraid of what's different.
Yeah.
And we really tried hard to ride the bus in DC, ride the trains. Yeah. We would have them drive through Chicago at a young age.
Really?
Yes, because if we were afraid of it, then they would be afraid of it.
That's true.
And if we taught them that they were able to conquer that fear, then they would. I wanted them to know they could go anywhere in the world and find happiness, whatever that was. So we can't, you know, these conversations start at a young age.
Yeah.
And if we find that we haven't had any, then we're missing the opportunity or we're creating the dynamic that exists.
Yeah. My wife and I and our family, we went to Dubuque, Iowa.
Okay.
Because it was her birthday this past weekend and we wanted to just go away and she wanted to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And it was either Dubuque. I don't know why. It was a short drive.
I wondered why. Dubuque.
It was not a long drive. And it was a pretty drive, you know. And we were kind of talking. We did an Airbnb in downtown Dubuque, the big city, you know, of like 50,000. It was really cool. But when I was little, the first time I left the state of Wisconsin, it was like a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And so when we're raising our kids, we value so much experiences and seeing things. We've taken a train to Denver. We've, you know, gone to Chicago and played on the beach in Florida, you know, and just to show what the world is outside of where we are.
Well, I think sometimes people, you know, you have kids that grow up in a small town and they leave and never come back.
Yeah.
I didn't want that to happen.
No.
I wanted them to have the ability to realize there is value everywhere.
Mm.
One of the things when, you know, as an adult, I mean, I grew up on a farm as a kid, and then we did the cul-de-sac life. We've lived on a lake. I lived on a farm. I now live downtown. Mm. Every one of those dynamics has value. Every one of them brings great joy. I would not have wanted to give up any of them.
No.
So if you only are exposing to one thing, then you have no idea what the other side looks like. And that's, I think that's part of the problem. Mm. So be brave. Be brave. Mm. You know, if you've never, you know, had the opportunity to go hang out at a farm, go. I've never met a farmer that wasn't willing to show you around. Right. You know, wear the proper footwear. You know, be respectful, but go be curious. You know, what's the old standby? Be curious. Don't be judgmental.
I got made fun of from my brother-in-law because they were, you know, taking the hay off and putting it in the, and I wore sandals.
No.
Whoops.
No. Oh, come on.
Won't do that again.
No.
That was awful.
I'll tell you a story. So growing up on a beef farm, we had, the two kids were older, the girls were older, and my dad decided we should bring in a couple of high school boys. And my sister and I could work in a haymow all day, nonstop. These big old football boys from the city, you know, after six bales, they're chugging Kool-Aid like it's going out of style. Like, get out of the barn. All right, we're heading into our first break. Thank you for joining us here on the Rational Revolution. I hope you're tuning in on the Civic Media app as well. We will see you on the backside, and we're going to talk a little bit about state politics. Come on back. You can count me out. You know it's gonna be all right. All right. All right. You say you got a real solution.
Rational Revolution. Glad you found us again. My, how the tables have turned. This is Mark Becker with my guest, Chris.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So as we kind of, you know, switch the old roles here, I want to give people a little bit of a story. And you know this story because I reached out to you long before you got into politics. Well, maybe not long before, but before.
Before.
I think I was maybe 20 years old and I was going through college looking for my first big time job. And there was group interviews for this place called Bankers Life and Casualty. And I was like, yeah, sure. I sent my resume in and I went in for the interview and I met this wonderful firecracker of a person who stood up in front of, I don't know how 15, 20 people. Mm-hmm. And just talked about nothing about the job, but it was all about impacting others. And it was so cool. And, you know, the message was to find what you're passionate about and make sure that what you do enriches the life and the lives of those who mean the most. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was cool. And after the big group interview, you know, if I don't know how it was pared down or whatever, but I got to sit down with you for maybe 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, it wasn't something I was ready for and I wasn't able to do, but the message that I got from you, and I got to like hold it together here. It stuck with me ever since, a 5 minute conversation. And the message to me was, you know, feed the fire that you have, remain passionate. And it was, I can really tell you're a wonderful person. Someone that would be great on this team, regardless if it's good, if, you know, even though it's not a good fit, you're someone that has value. And I mean, just the message that was there, it stuck with me for so long, to the point where 20 years later,
yeah,
I remembered your name.
Yep.
For 20 years. And I'm like, I wonder what she's doing. And I've looked you up on Facebook.
You stalked me.
I did. And we had a really cool conversation, and you know, and we kind of had our friendship budding, and then you did the whole politics thing.
Yeah.
But that's who you are.
Yeah.
And it was so impactful on a young kid.
Oh, let's appreciate that.
And I appreciate who you are.
Thank you.
And the things that you've done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And it's that same fire that is going to make sure that you are a rock star in the Senate.
Yeah, amen. Amen. So,
how did we get here?
I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to blame you, but you know, for me, politics started as advocacy. So I was asked initially with a group called NAFA, which is insurance and financial advisors. I was asked by them to start going to Madison and DC to talk about tax issues. Now, not corporate tax issues, not big monster tax issues, but we're talking about moms and dads and families and their retirement issues and their tax situations and protecting certain things that are there for them. And I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed it enough that I then said yes to another organization, which was the Alzheimer's Association.
Mm.
So I would go to Madison and I would go to DC, talk about funding, you know, the research, talk about services for caregivers all over again. And what was interesting is once I started working with both groups, I would show up in DC as an example. And if I was there with the NAFA group, it was a lot of Republicans. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of people. Yeah. The people they were looking for to talk to were the elected Republicans. If I showed up on the Alzheimer's bus, it was the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. They were looking forward to, like, the Alzheimer's bus couldn't wait to talk to Tammy Baldwin. I mean, she was their queen. The NAFA bus couldn't wait to talk to Ron Johnson because he was pro this and pro that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that bothered me. What bothered me was the negative assumption that the person that they didn't like as much wouldn't be worth their time. They would immediately, and there would be negative comments from both buses, negative comments about the other side. And I thought, isn't that silly? Wouldn't you rather go at it from, if you're on the Alzheimer's and you're asking for more money for research, and you know Ron Johnson is a hardcore bean counter. I mean, that's who he was. Never mind a little chaos after that. But why wouldn't you go to him from a bean counting standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
We know that Alzheimer's is going to cost the national situation more than the defense contract by 2038.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should do something to reduce that.
It makes sense.
Right? So I would try and change the group to help them here. On the tax side, the Republican side, I would say, no. What you want to talk to is what the impact is to the people, because Tammy Baldwin tends to be more people focused.
Yeah.
So if we do this, it's beneficial to her people. So trying to help people find a way to have a conversation without the assumption that the other side is evil. In fact, I'll tell you, I had a conversation with Eric Gingrich, current mayor here in Green Bay, back when he was an assemblyman. He was a junior assemblyman, came up under Hansen, right? And we got together, this was on the tax side, we got together and started having a conversation. And he said something, and I kind of was just frustrated to the point, not with him, but just saying, when are we going to get to the point where just because we are in the financial world, that makes us evil? Can we get past the good guys versus bad guys and realize that there's actually good people trying to do good things from different sides? And I remember Eric responding with a, you're right, because it's true. And people get into that habit, and then the legislatures get into that habit, and that's where things go wrong. We're starting on the standpoint of opposite positions instead of the assumption that we would share some common ground. Mm. So this is my philosophy, and it wasn't taught. I didn't come into politics to be into politics. I have a real job. I have plenty to do on the side, but I do believe that I have value in having conversations and bridging conversations from different opinions. And when we do that, then we bring the defense mechanisms down. We start operating from a place of faith, and we start moving forward in a conversation together. I'm good at that. Mm-hmm. This I know. So that is the talent that I believe I bring to politics. It's not about, you know, power. It's not about money. I mean, you certainly don't make that in these positions. It's about, if you're going to sit, are you going to sit back and watch a problem, or are you going to somehow offer to help? And then it's time, treasure, or talent. And I have some time and I have some talent. I tend to use some treasure too, but that's different, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, it's interesting, as you're a local elected official too.
Yeah.
The conversations that happen, you know, I would imagine your the city council is a little bit like the Brown County board, where yeah, there's some personalities on the fringes, but on the whole, there's no left or right. It's about right and wrong. Yeah. What a beautiful thing that is.
Yeah, it's just, there's work to be done.
Right.
All we look at when we walk into the city, and there's a little bit of fire on here and there, but honestly, it's a matter of, here's the problem, here's the solution, can we afford it, when should we do it?
Right. Right, Rational Revolution here. We're going to catch you on the other side of the break. Come on back. Welcome back, Rational Revolution. Mark here with Chris Alpak. Ah, we're having fun. Oh, tongue tied, or I don't know, whatever. On the other side of the break, we were talking about, you know, some of the struggles that you mentioned, Mr. Mayor Eric Genrich. You know, I remember having a conversation with him when he was in the assembly, and we were walking to an event, and I said, "How's it going down there?" And he just stopped on the sidewalk, and he looks at me, and he's like, "Well, I get my teeth kicked in every day of the week." And, you know, and that stuck with me, because it's like, man, that must suck.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I know why, you know why. But now, with these new maps, that's not going to be the case.
Right.
And I think, you know, to go to what you were saying about, you know, bringing people together, not focusing on, you know, this is your silo, this is my silo. Why, you know, I'm a Democrat, I shouldn't give a crap about the budget.
Right.
Or, you know, it's going to take people who have that talent to really heal a lot of wounds in the legislature.
Right.
Because, and I'm going to point some fingers at the Republican leadership who, you know, said in an open session to the Democratic minority leader, "You don't count. You don't matter. Sit down."
Mm.
And imagine what that does after 12 years of that.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of want to talk, you know, at this juncture of the show about, let's do a state of the state.
Yeah.
Where are we? What do we need to do?
Well, that's a big question.
I know. It's a huge question.
It's a huge question. But I think that the conversation must start with, the conversation must start with, do we agree on the vision? right? I mean, there's a great book. I think it's might be Lencioni. Lencioni has a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And it is a wonderful book in any situation. I don't care if it's a board, if it's a business, or if it's Congress. The premise of the book is it lays out the five different things that if not done properly, there's no way you're going to win. And at the base of the triangle, and I kind of like to kind of spin it into more of a positive vision, but the base of the triangle is trust. Mm. It's trust that you share the same vision. And if you trust that you share the same vision, then you can start moving up the chain and eventually expect results. But you are never going to get results if you don't have the trust and the difference and the commitments in order to get there. Mm-hmm. So we're broken. Can't blame anybody for being broke, or you shouldn't say that. You can't blame either side for being mad. I was riding down to Madison one time with a friend of mine to one of the groups, and she's very much a conservative, and we're talking about politics, and she said to me, "Why can't we get anything done? Because from the conservative perspective, the governor is preventing all things good, right? And they don't understand why. They're just mad." And we had a great conversation on the way down to Madison, and I said, "Think about it. If you have skewed the maps to give yourself a 2/3 majority, you've literally rewritten the lines.
Regardless.
If the other party now in power is not even allowing ideas to come to the table to be talked about, how ticked off would you be?
Yeah.
How angry would you be that you aren't allowed a voice? You're just banging your head against a wall. It creates this sense of separation, of the polar opposite. So when you got a chip on your shoulder because the deck is stacked against you, you're not going to change that.
No.
And then if your only defense is a governor, you can't hardly blame him for kicking it back into play.
You can't.
Just can't. Now, what I would say is if you look at the records in this last session, which is amazingly short. But in the last session, I think there was more work done across the aisles than there's been done probably in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And I believe, my belief is that's coming from the fact, one, it's an election cycle. So, mm-hmm. you know, you've got every assembly member and half of the Senate is up. And two, the lines were coming.
They knew it.
And so all of a sudden, you've got a lot of people that have been staunchly on one side or the other leaning over and saying, yes, look what I support. And so mm-hmm. you see this bipartisan. To me, that says it's possible. It always has been possible. Yeah. It's a matter of no one has, because of the lines, there was no accountability to actually do it.
Yeah.
So now my expectation is, and I don't care what side you're on, the chip of the shoulder has to come off of the Team Blue. And Team Red needs to clip its wings a little bit and get back in the game and do it the right way. You're not going to bulldoze what you want through. You're going to have to work for it.
Right.
And then make it work. That's my expectation.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, and I was going to say just about the exact same thing. It's, I hate to use this, but, you know, the abuser and the abused.
Yeah.
And you have to, the leadership on both sides, you know, Speaker Voss cannot do the things that he's done.
Yeah.
And leadership on the Democratic side, it would be so easy if they get a majority to just beat him over the head.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, no. There has to be good faith.
Right.
There has to be goodwill. There has to be for the good of this state, because what happened with these maps is good.
Yes.
Because now for the first time in 12 years, we can have representative government did not exist in the state.
No,
it didn't for over a decade.
But people don't even realize that.
Right.
That's what's
happening. I know.
They don't realize it.
And then, I've talked to folks about this too, and they're like, oh, well, you know, no, representative government does not exist in Wisconsin now.
No.
Only at the top.
Right. Only on the statewide
That's it.
Level.
That's it.
As many people, when we talk about the maps that were signed, and there's a lot of people that wish the governor would not have put his map out or signed his map. But I'll tell you, what Governor Evers did, and his words actually backed it up afterwards, he put out a map that was balanced. it did not lean blue. We're honestly, Democrats wanted the other maps. Oh, there I were know. Other maps yeah. that were way more in their favor, right. and it would have completely swung things. And what the governor did is put out a set of maps that would make it almost a clean slate. Right. Everybody would have a shot. And you have to give him credit for that, because in his statement afterwards, he said, I'm doing what's right. It's not for the Democrats. It's not for the Republicans. And honestly, it's true. He put in the most neutral set of maps that could have been put in. Now, you're still going to have Republicans that are mad, because obviously they're losing because mm-hmm. they wrote themselves 2/3.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're coming down to 50-50. Ish.
It sucks, huh?
Yep, still sucks. But that's the other shoe, you know? But I like the fact that we are not swinging all the way from all right to all left, because it's just going to keep the same thing going mm-hmm. with the opposite people.
You look at, you know, in the history of the country from, you know, when a big person makes the right decision at the big moment. And it takes so much courage.
Yes.
To do that.
Yeah.
I think I totally agree with you. What he did, he could have done the complete opposite.
Yep.
He could have swung for the fences on the other side, but he had the foresight to say, I like Reed Ribble last week. This card says I represent the people of Wisconsin.
Right.
Not right. Democrats of Wisconsin.
Yeah. I just, again, after a decade for the staunch, politically engaged person, mm-hmm. right? For the people that have been following this chaos
yeah.
for better than the 10 years, I understand why there was a revenge thought in there.
For sure. Oh, God, yeah.
I get that.
Absolutely.
I respect that. I have zero issue. But from my perspective, who truly does believe that we must be a little bit more moderate in our mm-hmm. gains and try to accomplish all the good things together, I look at this as, if I'm right, which you have to have accountability, you have to work to keep your job, you're going to have to work together on a daily basis. I believe that's what Wisconsin wants.
Oh, yeah,
for
sure.
I truly believe what we want is to get back to actually moving forward.
Right.
And you're going to see some shifts, because every now and then it's going to slide a little bit too far one side, and then the other side will bring it back a little bit. And then that's okay.
Yes.
That's real, because yeah. our emotions, our feelings on things will shift from time to time. But we can't have this 2/3 thing. It's just wrong.
No, because that's how you get, us going back to when Roe v. Wade was struck down, a law from, you know, well over 150 years ago.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, as much as it's a good thing that now everybody has a shot. I mean, make no mistake. I want us to do something about that.
Yeah.
When we're the only state in the Midwest that is marijuana is illegal.
Yeah.
We should do something about those things.
Right.
We, you know, and because of those maps, because of, I think, some of the thought process in my former party, we are stuck.
Yeah.
Decades behind.
Right.
And you look at things like vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, holy God, we could do 3 weeks on that.
Mm-hmm.
And what a hindrance that is on education.
Right. You know, and like there's philosophical issues. And I think that, again, once you have some balance, you have to have more
yes.
truthful conversations. It can't just be loud splashes.
Yeah.
I mean, initially when the voucher system came out, I was just getting involved at that time. And I thought, well, that kind of makes sense.
I did too.
Because
yeah.
because everybody, right. if you have a lousy school, you should be able to go to a better school.
Right.
Now, I think everybody would say that makes sense.
Right.
But what they're leaving out is the detail. And what they're leaving out is the actual intention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where
the people
details,
who benefit.
Yeah. That's where things get skewed.
Right.
And I think that if things were balanced up, then you're going to hear more voices on both sides. And if we're willing, like this, if you're willing to have a rational conversation, you should hear the full story.
Yeah.
Which means you're seeing it from all angles.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to actually be able to do that on bills, then I think they would be better bills moving forward. When you've rigged it so that the other side doesn't even get a voice on things, they're just yeah. screaming into a box, right?
Yeah.
So all of this comes out. Again, we make decisions on only the knowledge we're given. If we aren't given all the knowledge, we can't necessarily make a rational choice.
Right.
So let's do better. let's do better in the legislature. In fact, I was telling Conrad before I came, I wonder if civic media, when the day comes, if I am so, you know, blessed to win this election, if they would consider us running a show of the same concept, but with elected people.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Can you imagine on a weekly basis coming out of Madison, having one, having a moderate Republican and a moderate Democrat talking about bills that are on the floor from both sides and discussing it like humans.
Right.
So that people could actually understand why one side would like it, how it would hurt somebody else, and listen to it in a rational way, as opposed to news bites. But that's all people want, is to be able to make a good decision.
Right.
It's all about how much information or what information is coming to them, so whether they can do it or not.
Well, and it's also up to, you know, it's up to the people who are putting that message out to not speak in sound. And it's so easy to speak in 7 second sound bites.
Yeah.
I did that. You know, I mean, that was what I did when I was chairman. I taught people how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and the like women's health, that is not a 7 second sound bite.
No.
Like, you know,
none of it is.
Racial equality is not a 7 second sound bite.
No.
And so there's so much to these issues, but people are making their decision based off of these, you know, Joe Biden is way too old and but then we're going to vote for someone who's only 3 years younger.
Right. And you whatever know, and so you, like, yeah. And don't bring up anything that might've been done that was good.
Right.
Whatever you do.
Right. Right. You're right. God forbid we talk about, oh, okay, well this bill and that bill, right. People are coming together and I think it would also be very important to, you know, of the leaders of the party. To allow and have a permission for a space like that to say, okay, the handcuffs are off. You guys go to work, you know, talk freely, speak freely. That would take courage on both sides too.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a neat idea. Let's do that.
let's do there, that, then that's solved.
Yes. But before we do that, we got to hit a break here on the Rational Revolution with Mark and Chris. We'll see you on the other side. Oh, that's
we sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Nothing. And feeling good was easy now when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution.
Right.
I am Chris Alfheim, and this is your last time getting me on the show, but I am so proud of what we've done here. It's just good to have good conversations with good people from across the lines. And I, again, we've done our best to bring that to you, and I hope we've enjoyed it. I am here with my friend, my co-host, Mr. Mark Becker, and I'm going to let him have the reins back because it's fun, but thanks for letting me bring us in.
Yeah, I got to do that. Yeah, of course. I have to say, what a cool concept this is. As someone who has had kind of my calling card of always being open, you know, that attaboy.
Yeah.
Great job. This is
thank you.
Really, really cool.
I appreciate that.
You know, we were talking on the break about having a permission structure.
Yes.
A good friend of mine, Tom Sieber, who was the Democratic Party of Brown County chair.
Nice.
We and myself, who was at the time the Republican Party, we had a standing lunch and we would meet every month and we became really good friends.
Nice.
To the point where we were trying to organize a softball game and the captains were going to be Dave Hansen and Rob Coles.
Uh-huh.
And they had to pick from the other side. You know?
I think that's awesome.
It was shot down.
No.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Yeah. No. And it would have been.
It was a softball game. I can see not playing dodgeball because that would get dirty.
Oh yeah. Right. Correct. But like, I mean, there is an appetite.
Yes,
for
is.
That.
Absolutely.
And you know, it just for people that are inside baseball and people just observing.
Yeah.
To see that to see the humanity in other people, I think, no matter what you do, is such a critical, critical thing.
You know, when I was doing the advocacy before I actually got involved in politics, so this is, you know, going back, probably, I think the first time that I went to D.C. was probably 2011.
Okay.
Well, maybe. So a solid 10 plus years. But when I would first go to D.C., I would come back and people would go, "Oh, politics, that's not any fun." I'm like, well, it is. And I truly had the belief, and I still do to a degree, that people don't go to Madison to cause harm.
I agree with that.
People go to Madison, people go to DC because they want to do good for the people they represent. Mm-hmm. They have different versions of what that good may be.
Right.
But they aren't bad people. They're good people that their vision of what's right may be different than yours.
Yeah.
Now, today, I think that there are absolutely some lousy people out there.
Correct.
I think there are people that are literally doing harm to our country under the guise of a mission.
Owning the libs.
Yeah. That's harsh.
Yep.
I don't like it. I wish that would go away. But in general, and my fear is that as the chaos continues to be amplified and these crazy, you know, somebody referred to them as wing nuts, as the wing nuts come out of the woodwork, the good people on both sides are getting tired.
Yeah.
The good people, whether they're on the side of the Republican or on the side of the Democrat, it's a hard gig.
It is.
It's a hard gig when you're taking it in the teeth on a daily basis.
Right.
And if you're on the Democrat side for the last 10 years, you've been taking it in the teeth every time you go to the shop. Every time you go to Madison, you're taking it in the teeth. And if you're a conservative, but you're a more Reagan Bush style conservative, you're taking it in the teeth.
Yep.
Because the extreme wants you to be different.
Yeah, look at Rob Coles.
Right. Yes, yeah. I've spent time with Rob Coles.
Wonderful
man. He is very, very rational.
Yes.
Very rational, willing to listen, thinks about his people. And
genuinely good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of the chaos that's going on is bad.
Yeah.
It's bad because the loud, angry mob is turning on their own rational team.
Right.
And that's not good.
No, because you want to get the best and the brightest.
Right.
And anyone that is the best and the brightest will look at what's going on. I want no part of this.
And I will
I want
say
nothing
that,
to do with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and I will say that decisions. So I was on the phone today doing donor calls, which is what you do, right? Unfortunately, I wish we could change that. But I was on a call today, and this is a gentleman who has supported me in the past, has supported many Democrats in the past in the state. And he knew who I was. We had a conversation, and he said, "You know what? I'm sitting this year out."
Oh, no.
Because he's so disappointed with with Biden's lack of reaction to the Gaza-Palestine thing.
Mm.
And his only way in his mind of showing that he expects better is to withhold.
That's too bad.
Now, my point is, you know, something that is in D.C., it mentally affects people. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those actions. So whether it's something that Trump says, whether it's something that Biden does, those actions do have ripple effects all the way down the line.
Right.
And the conversation that I had with this gentleman was, I respect that. I respect that you want different actions. However, one horrible situation overseas and the decision that goes with it doesn't really
You have nothing to do with that, right?
The stuff that's going on here in Wisconsin in your back door, which you actually can. But not everybody can separate them.
Right.
And that's part of the challenge. You know, can we separate and look at what matters?
Right. So we talk about inside baseball. What does the next 8 months look like for you?
Pure chaos. I'm going to give you the 1 minute answer. The 1 minute answer is you give up golf.
Oh, no.
You give up travel plans, anything whatsoever. You do your real job. I'll probably spend about 25 hours a week doing my real job. I'll still be doing city council, which is probably going to be about 10 hours a week.
Yep.
And then every hour of the day, including the weekend, between that, I will be either knocking on doors or on the phone, one of the two, except for Sunday mornings, because I don't believe we should be door knocking or calling people during church time.
Yep.
And I choose to find God on the golf course.
So
I tend to sneak in a little nine holes. That's my only little break on Sundays. Yeah. Otherwise, they are very long weeks.
Yeah.
A family needs to be very, very supportive and understanding.
Oh God, right, yeah.
The amount of texts and emails that are answered are amazing. So in between all of the talking, walking, you're trying to do that and still take care of your family and not let your plants die.
That's beautiful. I would be remiss if I didn't give this minute to my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that. Listen, everybody out there, do your best to listen. Do your best to share, to be empathetic, to think about the fact that whatever you see is being seen from a different angle. So we all have our own truths. If we just give each other a shot to explain why, then maybe we can find some common ground and move forward together. Let's create a rational revolution out there. I do it. You do it. If we all do it, we might actually get something good done. Thank you for being here. This is The Rational Revolution with Chris Alfheim. Mr. Mark Becker, thank you for joining
us. Thank you. This has been cool.
You guys have a great week. Take care.
All right. You say you got a real solution.